welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird, but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help. Maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both.
What's up, baby?
What's up, what's up? We have the favorite word of yours in the podcast title this week.
Which word is that?
Fart.
Fart?
Fart.
That's not my favorite word. It might be in the top 10 list.
But I think it might be. You're very good at it. Anyways.
Oh my god.
And dogs are very good at it, so it's fitting for our podcast to talk about it.
That's our one older dog is a very good farter.
If you want to know what the inside of an egg carton in Florida after it's been expelled out of alligator's butthole and then sat outside with the broken eggs in it
for like a month.
3 months.
That's our dog's fart.
Yep. You know it.
You don't even hear it coming.
Like, just like this cat who just jumped on the desk. All right, so anyways, our random thought is indeed about a Florida man again. Woo-hoo. In honor of Sean.
Florida men are fun.
Who's a Florida man, which is why he's saying that. But this Florida man did something terribly naughty.
Let's be the judge of that for ourselves, please.
And he had an accomplice, another Florida man. So these two guys, allegedly... they're 27 and 22. Their names are Tim and Noah.
Yeah.
Got arrested last week after, quote, enacting a scheme in Palm City, Florida.
What was the scheme?
Well, they were arrested, quote, according to this article from Newsweek, after allegedly catching an alligator and encouraging it to bite one of the men's arms while forcing it to drink beer.
Well, that's just stupid.
There's so much.
Not even the beer, but this must have been a small alligator.
I don't know. They were charged with one count each of unlawfully taking an alligator, which is a felony, apparently.
Yeah.
Because you have to have a permit to take an alligator.
That's right.
I don't know what you need to get an alligator to drink, but to take it, you have to have a permit.
They weren't charged with trying to get
it. I know. So apparently, according to the report, and again, this is directly from Newsweek, one of them says the other one caught the alligator at 10 p.m. on August 26th in Palm City. So it was a while ago, right?
Yeah.
He apparently took the animal from the side of the road with his bare hands. Because that's a real Florida man for you.
Small alligator, I'm sure.
So... And then, also in August, I guess, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission got a complaint about it. And they, of course, recorded it on a video. Right?
Oh my god, how stupid they would be.
So, well, because who would believe them? Yeah, man, I caught the alligator at the side of the road with my bare hands, and then we dumped some Bud Light down it. You know, like,
well, you keep that crap between yourselves. And who said it was Bud? All right, it was probably Bud Light.
I don't know, but hopefully we will know. So
at least
anyways,
the alligator got some good beer.
Allegedly, the video showed one of the guys holding it captive while tempting that alligator to, quote, bite his right forearm before pouring the beer into the animal's mouth. The reptile was said to display aggressive behavior when the beer was poured into its mouth. I bet it was a bad beer.
Yeah. It might have been Bud Light.
When the police... I saw this Facebook post from one of our friends. It was a memory.
Yeah.
And it said... It was like, Carrie and Sean, and we were both tagged in it. And it was like, What is there? Why is there Bud Light in my refrigerator?
Yeah, I remember that. Those beer snobs. They're total beer snobs. I brought the Bud Light to the party and forgot to take my precious leftovers.
So anyways, one of the guys said, no, I wasn't drunk, but I did have a couple beers, but I wasn't drunk when it happened. And they also allegedly released the alligator back into the wild.
Oh, they did, huh?
Yeah, man.
Well, at least they did that.
I know. But apparently, according to this article, Florida has about 1.3 million alligators.
Yeah.
That's a lot, man. And they have a thing called nuisance gators, which are the ones that are, like, kind of jerks.
Like the ones in your yard or your local pond?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think that maybe there should be a lot about nuisance humans. Like, for the alligators. Like, yeah, your honor, you just picked me up. And, like, they could have a little alligator court about the humans who do dumb things to them.
Yeah.
No?
No, that'd be cool. Humans wouldn't stand a chance in that court, though. Uh-uh. Like kangaroo court.
Alligator.
Alligator court.
Alligator room? Because when dogs are smarter than people started, we always had a life tip and a writing tip, right? And yeah, we kind of combined them, but we got rid of the writing.
Apparently, Sparty's smarter than alligators because he'll drink the shit out of Bud Light.
He would, actually.
I've seen him do it before.
He's never been force-fed anything, though. And that's our dog, Sparty. But anyway, so the point here is about writing and how in writing or interacting with alligators or interacting with other people, you kind of want to know what that other person's all about, right? And if you want to interact with them and be their friends, you want to know what they expect of you.
At least feign an interest in what they think is important, right?
Right. Like that alligator, he didn't expect to be lifted up off the side of a road in Florida and then force-fed beer while some guy's arm was in his mouth.
Those guys made a video about what they thought their friends were expecting from them.
Right. And so, like, in the writing world, this is true, too. Because writers want readers and readers want writers to give them a good book, right? And if you write for a long time, you try to, like, keep your readers with you, right? Like,
right.
You have a career in which your readers have expectations for you. But they also have other kinds of expectations, like what genre you're writing. What are the typical tropes of that genre, right? Like,
right.
If you're writing a big literary novel, you're probably not going to typically have zombies having sex in it. Like, it's just like those things that you don't expect, right? Like, in a romance, you're probably not going to have picture book style cartoons about the happy little hamster finding his way home.
Although that could be funny, actually.
The romance.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's so that expectation almost creates what many call a subtle contract, as they do on careerauthors.com, right? And that contract is sort of like loose, it's not formalized, right?
Right.
But it has anticipations about what you expect, you know, and that, like, you're gonna feel a certain way at the end of it, and that there'll be words in it and that it'll be understandable, right?
Yep.
And they expect an experience, right? And that's kind of true with everything. Like, you go into a relationship and you expect an experience. You go into a meeting about dog parks and you expect everyone to yell at each other. You know, like, you just...
In this town,
you expect everyone to yell at you everywhere. But the point is that, like, there's expectations.
Right.
And you don't want, and it's just like when I go to bed at night with my loving husband, I have the expectation that he won't.
Sweet, sweet loving.
That he won't fart on me. But that has not.
Really?
But that happens over and over.
I wish
over.
You'd be honest sometimes.
Over and over again.
Sometimes.
And that is what you have to let me make my point.
Go ahead.
And that is what the readers don't want you to do either. They want that sweet, sweet loving from your story, and they don't want you to fart all over them.
Is it time for the witness, for the defense witness to approach the stand now?
I'm sorry, I have not had the due diligence to get all the release forms, etc., for you to be allowed to approach the bench, so we're just silencing you right now, man.
That's what I hear every night. I may not approach the bench.
So, gonna cackle. So anyways, on careerauthors.com, they have a great example, like, how a children's book features amusement park rides on its cover and in its title, but when you read the book aloud, a mother who's reading it to her 3 and 5 year olds realizes it's actually about grandma dying, right? She's like, oh no, man. Or like an author known for witty love stories, quote, enraged many of fans when her novel ended with the death of its heroine. And everyone's like, no. And they say expecting X but getting Y makes readers grouchy.
Yeah, sometimes it does.
And I think that's true about life, right? Like, when you fart on people's expectations. You had to say fart one more time for this to make sense in the title.
All so, right.
When you fart on people's expectations, they get grouchy, right?
You know what I consider to be a big literary fart on my expectations?
What?
Was when they chose Tom Cruise to play Jack Reacher.
A movie thing.
That was a movie book. Adaptation of one of my favorite book series. And now I can't so even much. Read the books anymore.
Because he imagines him. See, you have to
I'm
have
not imagining, it's described. Jack Reacher is a tall man. He's like 6'2 or 6'4 in the books.
But you can't read the books because you imagine Tom
this
Cruise.
This little shrimp.
That's not very nice. Don't be heightist.
I'm not heightist.
Anyways, the point here is don't break people's hearts like Shawnee. You know what's interesting to me about that?
I will say, though, that the author didn't break my heart. But yes, what's interesting?
I don't imagine anybody when I read a book.
Even if they're described in the book?
No, I'm all about concepts. And I realize that's part of that whole thing where you don't have a mind's eye. So, like, I can go and read those things and never imagine Tom Cruise. Like those books.
Well, I
or if I like reread Twilight or Mocking Hunger Games, I don't imagine the actors in those books because I don't have a mind's eye. And so I just imagine the concept of a tall guy for the Tom Cruise character.
All right.
Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher's his name.
Right. Like for Bella and Edward in Twilight, I just imagine sparkly vampire, moody girl.
I never saw Twilight or read Twilight.
You missed out on a phenomenon.
No, man, I watched that other one instead.
But anyways, that concept, right, of meeting readers' expectations and not farting on them isn't just about the trope and the cover fitting and, like, being true to the author's words when you adapt it to a movie, right?
Right.
It's also about there's these principles of energy, clarity, and persuasiveness. And that kind of like do a little like whoo, deep dive into the underpinnings of the English language and sentence construction and how, see, this would have been a very poorly constructed sentence that I'm saying right now. But this whole concept is about readers' expectations on the sentence level. So like we expect our stories to be clear and understandable, right?
Right.
We expect them to have some energy in it, some movement forward.
Mm-hmm.
We expect them, the writing, to have stress words at the end of the sentence. Like, all these things are expectations that as writers we can't fart on and, like, just blow apart.
Right.
Into, like, noxious gas that disseminates everywhere and cannot be collected by a sane reader, because then our readers are confused and we're not doing what we talked about in the beginning, that communication, right?
Right.
Yeah. it's called a reader expectation approach, and it's on that sort of level that smaller level, that sentence level, that level of voice, rather than level of topic, like the hamster in the erotic novel.
What?
Oh,
how did you mix that?
Remember we were talking about the hamster?
It's gerbilin.
We were talking about the hamster wheel in the romance novel.
Yeah.
You forgot already.
No, I didn't forget. But you're getting awful. Oh, my gosh. You're getting awful.
Did I get...
there.
I don't know. I'm like, did I get too intellectual?
No, gerbilin's a real thing, you know.
I don't want to know about that.
Well, it's where people...
No, I don't want to... That's even worse than what they did to the alligator, isn't it?
Oh, way worse.
Oh, we're not going to talk about it. Well, can you think of things like in life and stuff where it's like books where you're like people fart on others' expectations? Other than the fantastic example I gave before.
I cannot think of any specific examples, but I do remember things happening in books that really, really brought me down.
No, I mean in real life. Like, like you expect that once you're a New York Times and internationally best-selling author that you're going to have millions and millions of dollars.
No, not until you get a movie deal.
And even then, some of us don't. Or you expect, what else do you expect? That once you're married, you're always going to be happy.
Well, that's true, but in this household. Oh, wait, when you yell at me, does that mean you're not happy?
Oh, and I'm crying in the bed. Oh. That means I'm unhappy, baby.
Man, I'm really confused on your signals, baby. I'm so sorry.
Anyways, my point is that in life and in writing, like, there are so many overlaps, right?
Yeah.
But in either one, like, it's always good. Like, you get to be you and you get to do you, but you can come in into things like relationships and interactions and what do you call it when you're negotiations.
Right.
If you know what other people are expecting, then you can subvert that. That's totally cool. But you want to know and remember.
Definitely a benefit.
That you're not.
Know what people are expecting.
Yeah, you want to remember that you're not a solo person moving around the house alone. And that if you fart, there are going to be repercussions for that.
Only if it smells. Mine never smells.
That's such a lie.
Unless it's inflamed.
That's such a lie.
Once they're hugely inflamed. Offended by all of our talk about his farts.
They're really ripe.
And he can't help it. He's like the old man at the grocery store checkout that just lets rips right in public. And doesn't even flinch.
Was that you or that guy that you were talking about last week that you're talking about?
I'm not that old yet.
Yet.
Good lord.
Two more days, he'll be there.
If I fart in the grocery store, it's gonna probably be more than just a fart. Because I couldn't hold it anymore.
Okay, anyway.
Anyways, Sparty said, after a little cajoling and telling him his farts don't really smell bad and stuff.
So you lied.
Yes, of course. I need his input. He said, it sucks when you guys don't live up to my expectations.
No.
I'm half crippled and when I get up.
I don't think crippled is a word you're allowed to say, honey.
Oh, well, he's really...
Even in reference to a dog.
Really?
I don't think so.
Oh, God.
Apologies, everyone. But we're not going to cover it up, because that wouldn't be real.
Well, he is. Poor boy can hardly walk
anymore. He can barely
walk,
right.
Breathes like... Sounds like a freaking freight train by the time he's made it up the stairs every night.
You poor little pumpkin.
And he said it's just atrocious every time he has to get up off the floor and walk through the pantry because he heard you open the door.
Okay.
And he doesn't get a treat.
Well, that might be why he can't walk.
Because of the treats?
Yeah.
Well, I've been telling you that for years, but...
But no, so...
You keep pouring him down his throat like beer down an alligator.
Oh my God, that's so not true.
At this point in time, it's like his only source of happiness besides
the
walks and
the belly rubs
and
a bit more belly rubs.
Yeah, so you're struggling.
You're breaking my heart, Anakin.
Oh, he's doing good for a 23-year-old dog.
So what's his advice? Expectations?
His advice is, don't get upset every time something doesn't live up to your expectation.
Oh.
Sometimes you just gotta be able to roll the punches. It's like real life.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not everything turns out the way you want it to.
Yeah.
If your friggin' favorite heroine dies in a book, well...
I thought you were gonna say, you were saying heroin.
If your favorite like the heroine, drug. No.
I'm like,
I don't
what?
Think it's okay to talk about that. Because recovery is serious.
It is serious.
We don't talk about drug addiction.
No, we don't. That's why I got so confused.
Alcohol, maybe, but we're not talking about drug that one. Addiction.
Anyways, all our notes are in the podcast notes at carriejonesbooks.com. And thank you for hanging out with us on Sparty. I'd like to tell you all that no farts happened during this podcast.
He wasn't even in the room, so we can't really attest to that.
I was talking about you.
Oh. Well, I'm going to start bagging mine and sell them online.
To your OnlyFans.
I'll put them in a condom.
Oh, jeez.
And tie off the end.
Oh, no.
And then
box
them up and ship them out. $10 a sniff.
Can it be like $100? Because right. I don't think $10 is going to cover packaging and shipping.
Sure it will.
You can buy condoms. Yeah. Those cost a lot of money.
Actually, I have a little box of them here somewhere. If I can find out where you put those freebies.
What?
We have a whole piece of condoms here.
The environmental. And
yeah,
we have condoms that we gave out to a lot of people, but they're all about like saving endangered species.
That's right, the packaging.
Yeah,
the condoms themselves, because the lizard condoms are really like.
No!
Alright, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You know.
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. Just like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
Be kind. Be kind to us, old people.
Oh, yeah.